Good morning. We've been looking at this story of Moses and God calling him and sending him. And today we have just a few short verses, and I want to make a quick point in these verses that God prepares us all the way along through life for what he sends us to do, and he knows what's going on. You ever felt like you were in a situation where you look back in life and you realize that you've been prepared for that along the way? Maybe you didn't understand why you were going through the hardship, or maybe you didn't understand why you were going through the difficulties of life as you were going through them. But as you get to this big event in your life, you look back and you say, man, God has been with me all along, and he's been guiding me, and he's been leading me, and he has been preparing me for this whole process. Today, I want to talk about this idea of God preparing us and God knowing what's going on in the future and what's going to happen for us and getting us ready for that time. And so today, we're going to be in chapter 3. We're going to finish up chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, and then I'm going to be headed off to Africa on Thursday, and then Jawan and a few other friends of ours will meet us there later on during the week. And so I'm grateful for Chip to be able to step in and preach and share with you about some things that are important, some things that are on his heart, and some things that will help us as a church and as the body of Christ to move forward in the days to come, that God has used us and will use you for the task that he has planned for you. And that's, I want to tie that into to what we're doing today. And so you've thought about that time where you've had that hardship, and you realize that God had been working in your life and preparing you to get through whatever major event is coming. And as we look in this text, we see that God has prepared Israel. And in preparing Israel, now he's going to provide for them. What I want you to know is that God prepares us, and he provides for those he calls. And you may be wondering why you're going through this crazy life, or why you're going through the hardship, or why are things going so well? We often go to the negative, but why am I learning this? Why am I being taught this? And God is always preparing us for what comes next. So what I want us to do today is to recognize that God is working in our life. And I hope you have spiritual eyes to understand and spiritual eyes to see what God is doing in your life, around your life, and how he prepares and provides for you. Now, the text we're going to look at, you may say, where in the world do you get those thoughts from? But let me read it for us, and I'll try to help us understand these concepts. So in chapter 3, we'll start in 19. God has just told Moses in the preceding chapters that he is going to send him, that he has prepared the way for him, that Moses is going to go, and Pharaoh is going to listen. And then there's this however. It's always like one of those, I've got good news and I've got bad news. Let me give you the good news first. It's going to work out. However, it might be a little difficult. Verse 19 says this, however, I know that the king of Egypt will not allow you to go unless he is forced by a strong hand. And I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles that I will perform in it. After that, he will let you go. And I will give these people such favor in the sight of the Egyptians that when you go, you will not go empty-handed. Each woman will ask her neighbor and any woman staying in her house for silver and gold jewelry and clothing, and you will put them on your sons and daughters so that you will plunder the Egyptians. There are two items I want us to look at today. And the first thing is this. God knows the future. Not only does he know the future, he knows your future. You may say, why am I going through this? Why is this thing happening? Does God have any concept of what's going on? And I promise you, he does. God knows your future, not just an idea of what the future may hold, but he knows exactly what's going to happen to you. You say, why doesn't he stop the hard stuff? Why doesn't he stop the pain? Why doesn't he stop all of these other things if he knows they're going to happen? Well, there are several reasons for that. One of them is that, and the main one is this, that sin has entered the world and it has broken the world. And the world is messed up because of sin. And we propitiate that every time we sin. We are just in this cycle of messing up and being broken. And the only thing that can fix us and restore us is Jesus Christ. And the only thing that can fix this world and restore this world is God himself. And so we are in this broken world. And this broken world has hardship, has evil, has vindictive people, has a variety of things that you're going to go through. But know this, this is where I want you to get your comfort. God knows your future. In the world of academia, it's the word omniscient. God is omniscient. I've been teaching philosophy of religion this semester, and so I can throw some big words on you. I'm not gonna, but it was one of those trials where I'm looking back in my life, God, why am I doing this? Why did I agree to teach philosophy of religion? And if you're wondering what's so hard about that, I have a textbook that you can read, and you'll be wondering, why in the world do people even sit around and think about this stuff? And if you ever took in philosophy, you're like, yep, that's right. Philosophy people are special. That's all I got to say. And so philosophy of religion, we've got all of these different categories and all these different things. And I'm like, why is God making me go through this? Not only just go through this, but teach this. And so I'm wondering, what is God preparing me for in the future? God knows my future. God knows your future. And what God tells Moses is, I am sending you to Pharaoh. However, it's not going to be easy. You're not going to show up and tell Pharaoh, hey, Pharaoh, I'm here. God has sent me. The great I am has sent me. The one who wants to be in relationship with me, the God who the God I talked about last week, this wonderful, powerful, ever-present God, I'm here as his spokesman. Pharaoh's not going to say, by all means, go. Rather, what he's going to say is, let's play a game. And he plays this little game, and as one day we're going to get into the various plagues down the road, and Pharaoh says, oh, you can go. And then he changes his mind. You can go. Then he changes his mind. And so God says it's not going to be easy. And because it's not going to be easy, God is going to have to be involved in this. And God says, there's no way that Pharaoh's going to let you go unless a strong hand intervenes. And he says, I'm going to strike the Egyptians, or I'm going to strike Egypt, and all of my miracles will be seen. And this is a prophecy of what will come to being in the various plagues that are coming later on in the book of Exodus. But what I want you to see here is that God is intervening and God is working and he's using his hand, and he is going to intervene for them and he's going to do some miracles. Now, I came across this definition of a miracle this week, and it's an interesting definition. If you're taking notes, this would be a good thing to write down. And this is what it says. Miracles are God's timely, direct intervention in human affairs, then you may want to put a dash and write, not always supernatural. Let me say it again. Miracles are God's timely, direct intervention in human affairs, but it is not always supernatural. The fact that you got to get up today is a miracle. The fact that you did not get in an accident or other various things are miracles. So God intervenes in our lives and he sets things up. He knows the future. And God says, I am willing to make sure that you have the future that I've designed for you. God says, I'm going to intervene. Now, miracles can be Jesus walking on water. Miracles can be the story of Elisha who goes and the woman's son is dead and he raises him back to life. Or it could be something like Elijah on the Mount Carmel when Elijah preaches and down comes fire and consumes a sacrifice that is soaked in water. Yes, those can be miracles. But the fact that God puts you on a certain plan and gives you the particular education you have, or it surrounds, or you get surrounded by certain people, or different folks come into your life and out of your life, all of that is miracles, and all of those are God's hands working in your life. It's a strong hand. It's a good hand. It's a strong hand as opposed to this oppressive hand of Pharaoh. And God tells Moses, hey, I know it's going to happen. And these things will happen. He knows it all. And he's gonna help Moses. He's going to help them to get through the process. And not only does God know your future, and because he knows your future, he's going to prepare you for that. Excuse me. God prepares you for the future. He tells them in the final verses of this chapter, verses 21 and 22, that they will not leave empty-handed. That the woman will ask her neighbor or the other people living in her house, hey, can I get a little bit of stuff for the road? Can I get some gold and some silver? Can I get some clothes? Can I get some stuff that will help me on this trip on the way out? And this is a promise that God made to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 15. It's amazing. If you go back to Genesis chapter 15, you look in verses 13 and 14, you see where Abraham is pushing God and saying, but God, what's going to happen to all of my descendants? And he gives him the bad news of the enslavement. And if we look at that text, we see God telling Abraham this, and he assures Abraham that he will judge. In verse 13 of Genesis chapter 15, he says, then the Lord said to Abram, now this is for certain. Your offspring will be foreigners in a land that does not belong to them. They will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. However, I will judge the nation they serve. And afterward, they will go out with many, many possessions. God is not only knowing what the future is, but he is preparing them for what the future has. Israel is going to go through this time, and Israel is going to be blessed by these Egyptians who have oppressed them for years and years and years. Why? Because God is setting them up to be the nation that he's calling them to be. God is setting them up to be able to go into a new place, a land flowing with milk and honey. a land that he's promised them. And he says, you're not going to go out empty-handed. You're going to go out with possessions. Now, this is not a promise that you're going to get rich quick. This is not even a promise that you're going to get rich. Sometimes we may look at this verse and say, well, God, I love you too. Can I get some silver and gold and some fine linens? I think what this text is teaching us is much more important than material possessions. It is that God prepares us and God is working with us and God is setting us up for what he knows to be in the future. God prepared Israel to leave Egypt. He gave them all of these resources. He gave them what they needed. He gave them gold. He gave them silver. He gave them clothing. He met their basic needs. And so what is the principle that we learn from this is that God prepares, and maybe he is preparing you. Not maybe, but he is preparing you. You see, God calls us, God sends us, and God prepares us along the way. God has called Moses. God tells him what his responsibility to do, and he has prepared Israel. God blesses Israel. And so the question for today is, or the question that I want us to think about is, how is God preparing you? What is God doing in your life? Maybe he has given you a certain skill set. Maybe you're good at some particular job. Maybe you're good at a bunch of different jobs. Maybe you're good at thinking through problems. Maybe you're good at organizing things. Maybe you're good at just whatever needs to be done, tell me to go do it and I can get it done. Maybe God has blessed you financially. Maybe God has blessed you intellectually. And all of these things are blessings in God preparing you for whatever he has for you in the future. He's not making you smart or making you rich or making you a person who is organized just so we can sit back and say, man, aren't I great at organizing? Or aren't I very smart? Or don't I have a lot of money? God has prepared us and God is preparing us for what he has for our future. And all along the way, God prepares us for the next thing, and we drop off some of that stuff he has prepared for us along the way. Maybe he's blessed us with monetary things, and we use that along the way for his kingdom. Maybe he's blessed us with the ability to teach. Maybe he's blessed us with the ability to serve. Maybe he's blessed us with a variety of gifts that we use throughout our lives for his kingdom and for his service. And it's all about him. It's not about us. It's not about our church. But we are equipped to give it away. Whether it's money or knowledge or whatever it is that God has blessed us with, our time, our effort, and God prepares us and we give it away. And we keep giving it away. God has prepared Israel. And he is continuing to prepare them because he knows what comes ahead. See, God's plan was that Israel would leave Egypt and that they would go into the promised land right away. But Israel blows it. Maybe you've heard of the whole story of them wandering 40 years in the wilderness. That wasn't God's plan. But he knew it would happen. But God is preparing them all along the way. And God prepares us along the way. He provides us with experience. He provides us with knowledge. He provides us with money or possessions. The great I am gives to us, and he cares for us so that we can give it away and care for others. And if you think about it, in a modern context, God has called Moses. God has sent Moses. God is preparing Moses all along the time he's in the backside of the desert, all along the time he's with his father-in-law, all along the time he's in Egypt learning in the palace. God is preparing him along the way. And then we come to Egypt, and God is going to prepare the Israelites for their trip out. And you say, what does that have to do with me? God calls you. God calls you to himself. And when he calls you to himself, he sends you to the nations. The verse we always talk about in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commissions, and you will go and be my witnesses to every nation. The word there is ponte te ethne, every ethnic group, every people group. You are to be my witness. And it starts where you are, and he sends us out to every nation, every people group. And he prepares us along the way to share his message, to share his love, to share who he is. And not only did he clothe Israel then, but he clothes us with his own righteousness. In Isaiah, there's a wonderful verse. Isaiah, it has this picture, it has this metaphor of being clothed. Think of putting on a jacket or putting on a shirt that doesn't belong to you, that you should not, that you don't have the right to wear it. You don't even have the wherewithal to get it. And in chapter 61 of Isaiah, in verse 10, it says this: I greatly rejoice in the Lord. I exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, and he has wrapped me in a robe of righteousness. That's what happens when we come to Christ, when he calls us. We are called to him, we are clothed in his righteousness. Just like the Egyptians clothed the Israelites on the way out, or will, God clothes us with his own righteousness, because there's nothing we can do to make God love us more. There's nothing we can do to make God love us less. There's nothing we can do to get into heaven. The only thing we can do is accept his salvation and be clothed in his righteousness, because our righteousness is useless. So the question for you, or a question for you, is this: have you been called by God? Or rather, have you answered the call from God? God has called us all. He wants us all to be part of his family. He wants us all to be his children. Have you answered the call? And what I mean by that is have you said, God, I'm going to follow you. God, I'm gonna stop being my own boss. God, I'm not gonna be the one who tries to be in control anymore. God, I'm gonna surrender. I'm gonna give whatever it is to you. My obedience, my very all. God calls us to salvation. He calls us to be part of his family. Have you answered that call? The second thing is God sends. Where is God sending you? To whom is God sending you? Maybe you know that and you are going in that direction. Maybe you know that and you refuse to follow because you're scared out of your mind. Maybe you don't know it at all. And so I encourage you to seek after God's voice. But know this: God is preparing you all along the way. God prepares you. He gives you what you need so that you can deposit it where he wants you to, and you keep preparing and you keep giving it away. Prepare, give it away. Prepare, give it away. What is God preparing you for? Some of us get a glimpse into what it is. Most times we have to look back in life and say, oh, look, God prepared me all along the way. So in the next few minutes, I want to give you a chance to respond to God. One, if you've never answered the call, I'd love to talk to you about that. Secondly, who is God sending you to? Who do you need to share your story with? Who do you need to share the love of God with? Who do you need to share that God is the only way, that Jesus is the only way to salvation? And then pray that God will give you the spiritual eyes to see how and when he's preparing you for what he has in the future. And be comforted by the fact that he knows your future, that he loves you, and his plan is the best for you. Will you stand and respond to God?